This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendar with the Old Trailblazer. Riding out on Old Dan this morning. Kind of a frosty morning a little bit. Maybe not be wherever you are. Maybe you up there in the frozen north where the snow's falling all night. But wherever you are, would you sit down and listen to the Old Trailblazer at this time? We're bringing you a study from the book of Revelation. We're about two-thirds through the book right now. We're in the 14th chapter, I believe. And the Lord is blessing it. Folks are writing me, telling me they appreciate these studies. Other studies that we have on the second coming of Christ, the soon coming of Christ, the Antichrist Bible, the many. If you write me, I'll send you a title list of all of the messages that the Old Trailblazer has brought over the years. And also, Pastor Shelton's Trailblazer message. He was the original Trailblazer. Back there in the 50s, he brought a series of messages on the Trailblazer. He had the sound effects to go with it there in the studio, which I don't have. He had old Dan clippity-clopping. And get up, Dan, get up, Dan. Then he went down to the bayou in an old boat. You could hear the boat running. And then on one occasion, he was riding old Dan out there in the hills of North Louisiana. And an old snake got in the path. Old Dan kind of snickered and went around, and the pastor shot that old snake with his old pistol. Those things were gracious. I remember those times. But he's always connected it with bringing the gospel. He's always tied it together with preaching the gospel, and that's what we try to do. So we're riding out this morning, laboring for the Lord, that the Lord tells us to be up and about our Father's business. So you know the Lord. Are you up and about his business? You say, well, I can't do a thing in the world. I'm kind of homebound. I'm not able. You know what you can do? You can pray. Did you know you can pray? Oh, he tells us to pray one for another. How many of you are praying for the Old Trailblazer? My friend, I need your prayer. We've gone through some terrible times here with the Hurricane Katrina, and our forces, our people have been scattered all over the country, and we just recently buried one of our folks who died during the storm, and many of them's homes are wrecked and ruined. They hadn't got back yet. Don't know if they'll ever come back, and our congregation is scattered all over the South. But we need your prayers. I need your prayers, my friend. You say, Pastor, how can I help? Pray for me. Would you pray for me? Surely many folks are helping us financially. We're going to build a new facility here in Baton Rouge area. And folks are doing that thing as the Lord supplies. And I appreciate every one of you. I don't get a chance to shake your hand and tell you thank you. Well, I want to do it at this time. I thank you for your letters and your cards and your prayers and your donations and those things. And we're going to use them for thy name's honoring, for the Lord's name, honor and glory. And folks say, well, I'm not sending no money to that old Trailblazer. Well, I don't get your money. I don't get one penny of your money, my friend. It goes into the Lord's work. I don't take a salary out of this ministry. Not one penny. Not one penny, no. The Lord blessed me years ago and gave me a comfortable income that I'm able to live off of, so I'm able to give out the gospel. And I don't covet your money. I don't have to bite my tongue to keep you from, well, I won't give no more. That old Trailblazer stepped on my toes. Well, you just have to go to hell for your trouble. No, you can't pacify me by sending your money here. I don't need your money. You know what the Lord says? He said the cows on 1,000 hills. You ever been out west out there in Arizona, New Mexico, and West Texas, where those great herds of cattle, white-faced cattle, grazing on those hills? And you know what the thought came to me the other day? Did you know everywhere there's a hill, there's a valley? And those cattle go down in those valleys too. So the Lord has cattle on the hills and in the valleys. But the Lord says that he'll supply all of our needs in Christ. So I'm happy to be able to come to you. I don't want to get started on that today. We're looking at this study on the mark of the beast, and I want to stop here and show you how the spirit of the Antichrist is now working in this era that we're living in. It says over in Daniel that the Antichrist will come upon the scene and win his followers by flattery. By flattery. Folks like to be flattered, don't they? That word flattery means insincere but complimentary speech. Insincere but complimentary speech. It also means false praise. And this man in his unregenerate state loves to be praised. Folks like to have their name called over the radio or over the air or from the stage or from the pulpit. Now listen, you hold your seat. Hold your seat. The old Trailblazer used to say, you better hold your seat. We're going to jump a creek because I'm going to make a statement here that you may not believe. Now I want you to listen. I want you to listen. Do you know that our personal Lord, that our personal soul-winning modern-day evangelism and our methods of building the average church today is based upon the great fact of flattery. Now, did you get that? Our modern day churches, I have preachers tell me, well, I'm a church builder. Well, you know how they build it? They build it on flattery. Do you know that the basic teaching in the present day seminaries and Bible schools and training centers for preachers and religious leaders is to teach them how to get along with humanity and how to lead them? And the spirit of the whole technique is that of flattery. It's flattery. Did that ever dawn upon you, my friend? Oh, backslapping. They do it in their blindness, of course. Being unsaved themselves, they are caught in the present day spirit of delusion. They appeal today is on the basis of the dignity of man, and that man has come some good in him, and it's only our responsibility to bring it out, not knowing that man is totally depraved, and that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ makes no compromise with men. Listen, never tries to get along with them, but insists on that they be made a new creature in Christ. Now, one of the things we've often say here, that many of our folks are being told how to get along with man, how to treat dumb animals. That's right, my friend. You see, the spirit of the Antichrist is abroad in the land today, and in time it will be manifested in the false prophet who will lead the whole world, except God's elect, to worship the beast. Now, my friend, that's what we have today. Oh, listen, it's everywhere if we get our blinded eyes open. Let me call your attention again to this fact. This false prophet will have power to perform miracles, such as calling down fire from heaven, and also to give life unto the image of the beast that he will make. And I've made this statement many times, that Satan has the power today to heal, to answer prayer, and so on. And then, my friend, he does. Let me state this emphatically, that I believe in divine healing, that it's an answer to prayer. But let me say again, this so-called faith healing that is abroad in our land today is all of Satan. It is the spirit of the Antichrist preparing the world for the acceptance of the Antichrist when he comes upon the scene with greater miracles and signs and wonders. I know what I'm talking about, my friend. No, I'm not deceived. No, I'm not deluded by the spirit of Antichrist. You say, Pastor, how can you be so dogmatic and so positive and absolute? Here it is. Anything that would detract, take away from blood redemption in Christ is not of God, but of Satan. Now, you go back and you study some of these ministries now that we have on the scene. Do they talk about Christ? Do they talk about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they talk about what a sinner they were before the Lord saved them? Listen, every born-again believer, every pastor I've ever heard whom I believe was praying, was saved, I believe the outstanding thing in his life is, you know, I was such a sinner, and yet the Lord saved me. The Lord, by Jesus Christ our Lord, by his blood being shed on my behalf, saved me. It's not that all of this other froth, my friend. No. Listen now. Here it is. Anything that will take away from blood redemption, anything that does not magnify Christ, is of Satan. Any service that puts the emphasis on bodily healing takes away from blood redemption. You may come back and say, well, Pastor Trailblazer, didn't Christ heal? Didn't the multitudes follow him? My answer is yes. But let me call your attention to this fact. When the multitudes were attracted by these miracles that Jesus wrought, he came back at them with this message. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the resurrection of life. I am the I am. No sign will I give thee except the sign of Jonah, which referred to his death, burial, and resurrection. When the Lord Jesus drove these truths home to their hearts, the multitudes left him, and it was this same multitude which beheld his miracles who crucified him as an impostor. Brethren, if the multitudes will not hear the word of God, you cannot lead them to Christ by any type of miracles you perform, whether it's healing or otherwise, or by religious movies. Try it. You get a profession without possession. You just bring an old he-devil into your congregation. That's right, my friend. And pretty soon he'll be taking over your worship. But listen, listen, you go ahead and try it. That you get a profession without possession, and you'll have religion without life, you'll have an empty shell. And I know what I'm talking about. I'll stake my eternal destiny upon it. Christ said, if they will not hear the word, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, my friend, what a statement. We're told here that this false prophet will make an image of the beast, just as old Nebuchadnezzar had an image of himself made, and cast all that did not worship him into the fiery furnace, according to Daniel 3:1-6. So all that will not bow down and worship the image of the Antichrist will be killed, and I believe they'll be killed immediately. Oh, listen, my friend. I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to teach. I don't know how to do anything except tell you what the Lord lays on my heart. Let me call your attention to the trap of Satan. Listen now, a steel trap that Satan has set. It is this: worship my Christ or starve to death. That's what will happen during the Antichrist time. When Satan, through the false prophet and the Antichrist, will have led the world to worship him, then he will pull the greatest trick ever pulled over blinded humanity and hell-bound humanity. He institutes the greatest rationing program the world has ever known. This is also brought about by the famine that will be abroad in the land. He says here, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their forehead, or in their right hand and in their forehead, and that no man can buy nor sell, save he that had the mark of the beast or the number. Now, my friend, our time is slowly, quickly running out. I just want to mention here, these are terrible times. These things are not happening right now. We're not in the tribulation period now. Don't let anybody tell you we're in the tribulation period, because our blessed Lord is coming back to this earth as a thief in the night to pick up and to take out all the dead in Christ who are in the grave. And those of us who remain will be caught up in the air if we're still living when the Lord comes. And I asked you, are you ready to go be with the Lord? Well, you know, I made a decision for Jesus back there when I was 7 years old. The teacher and the Sunday school teacher carried us into the auditorium and let the preacher shake our hand. He said, we're saved. That's not salvation, my friend. That's a bottomless pit of hell. Our folks, we're living in a generation today when our folks began to do that back in the early 30s and 40s and 50s. Now this world is permeated with those folks, those decisionists. That's what I call them, decisionaires. They made a decision, like these great old evangelists that go across, so-called great, go across the nation in these big ball fields, and I've seen them, and they give a little 3 or 4 or 5 minute dissertation and then say, come on down to the front and talk to one of my personal workers, and they'll give you some helpful literature. Oh, my friend. And then they think they're saved. They believe it. They believe they're saved. But they're not. No, because why? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. Can you say that? Do you have a new heart, my friend? The Lord said, I'll give you a new heart. Do you still have that old heart, that old rotten heart? Oh, it's a mean, hateful thing, isn't it? Just lying there in your bosom. But the Lord will give you a new heart if you look to Him. Don't wait for the mark of the beast. Don't say, well, I'll just get by. No, you won't get by. No, you'll be killed if you take a stand for Christ. And then listen, my friend, it's not worth it. Now is the day of salvation. The Lord says today. Today is the day of salvation. Won't you turn to Him today? You say, well, how do I do that? Fall at His feet. Dr. Copeland used to say, drop dead. Give up all your pretense of having anything, knowing anything, being anything, and look to the Lord, confessing your sin. Lord, I'm such a sinner. Won't you save me? This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. And if you would, remember my mailing address. It's the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Goodbye, and God bless you.